Father God, we just come before you, Lord. And what an awesome day. Gosh, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
I was just in the little girl's room and thinking, oh, Lord, I have to follow that woman that just spoke. She was awesome. What a testimony. What a story. But you know what, Lord? It was just the enemy, because whatever you give to any of us, God, is rich and purposeful and meaningful, God. And so we thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
I pray, God, over myself. I ask you, Lord, to cleanse my thoughts, take the time, cleanse my lips, Lord,
yes,
that these words that I speak would be your words to these beautiful sisters of mine, God, and that there would be something for each and every one of them. I give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, well, I had said good morning, ladies, because I thought I was speaking in the morning, but they switched us around, so... this workshop is all about growing up, and I have entitled it Time to Grow, T-H-Y-M-E, going on the herbs that we were following through. For those of you that are parents, I want you to go back now in the deep recesses of your mind when you're chill, maybe not that far for like Becky, she's got little ones. And for you who's going to have a little one in April, do you remember when your baby, especially your first baby, you just couldn't wait for him to talk, to say that first word, mama or dada, you know, and to take those first steps. That just kept us in a state of anticipation. And it was beautiful. It was a fun, fun time. Well, now I want you to take and go back further, or maybe just recently, I don't know, to the day that you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Is it 2 weeks, 2 years, 2 months, 10 years? Have you been walking with him for years and years and years? It really doesn't matter. The analogy I want to draw is you as that new parent is like Christ. When can you imagine what our Heavenly Father must have been feeling, the anticipation and the joy, when you accepted his son and just waiting for you to grow up, to be all that we can be in Christ Jesus. So just think on that he's joyous just at the fact that you accepted his son Jesus Christ and your life is changed forever. Your Heavenly Father is a kind and loving parent, and he wants us to grow up in him just as we wanted our children to grow up. But somehow it proves to be exceedingly difficult to walk this new life. You try your best to learn his word. You attend as many classes and Bible studies and women's studies as you can, all trying to increase your knowledge in God. And all the while struggling with your old man that's saying, hey, let's go back to who you used to be. That was more fun. Or the anger that you used to feel, or the depression. So those are the things that we have to deal with. Just as we are strangers to this world when we were physically born and had to learn to smile and walk and talk all brand new, so we are strangers to this Christian life. And it is God's desire that we seek him in all areas of our life. And thus we have Ephesians 4, 14 and 15. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. Taking examples from the scriptures, because our women's ministry is doing this study in Daniel, I, of course, immediately went to Daniel, and I found that Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were four young men who were captured at such a young age and thrown into a country where they didn't speak the language and they didn't share the same beliefs. And yet, they were called, they were demanded, they were asked to bow down to this king, King Nebi is what I call
call him.
Short for Nebuchadnezzar. Old Nebby baby. And they were asked to do this far beyond the wisdom of their own years. And yet they knew through their that was not their God. And so when they were taken captive, these young Jewish boys that accompanied him would go into severe danger. And as they tried to learn to serve this king and to learn their, they even had to learn a new language. They didn't even speak that language. And they had to know it and be fluent in it. And they're just little guys, probably 13 years old, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, think of your own kids at that. You know, it's amazing. And if they didn't adhere to these new laws, they were going to be thrown into a furnace that was 50 times hotter than we could ever even imagine. But they knew their one true God. Joseph is another. He's the favorite son of Jacob and Rachel. And he was called to a vital role in the history of Israel. Before that, his jealous brothers sold him into to the Midianites for 8 ounces of gold. He was then resold. You know, he was thrown to Potiphar. Potiphar brought him into his home. Good-looking young man, Jewish boy, really nice. Well, his wife, of course, decided to cry rape, and when it wasn't, in fact, and Joseph had to flee, he was caught and thrown into prison. Like Daniel, Joseph had been given by God the ability to interpret dreams, one of which was the impending famine that would devastate the land and his people. Remember now, Joseph was about 17 years old when his brothers sold him into whatever. Wisdom like that of Daniel and Joseph can only come, ladies, it can only come from giving all your fears over to the Lord and trusting him. Well, am I going to be able to breathe in a second? I mean, literally to that point. They wanted to be, you have to be of a complete mindset in order to have trust and wisdom and totally walking in Christ. So let's look at how this transformation can take place in the life of a believer. I accepted Jesus Christ at the age of 5. Excuse me. I remember very clearly the day that it happened, and I also remember the day that I was baptized. My parents went to a little Southern Baptist church in El Monte, and oh, mind you, I'm standing up there in that little baptism. Oh, I'm probably all about that tall, and the pastor's going to dunk me, and he called me by the wrong name. Now, you don't call a five-year-old by the wrong name. Let me tell you, it just incensed me. Well, thus started my walk with Jesus. I was baptized. I happen to have been the youngest of 7 children, and I can thankfully say that none of my older brothers and sisters tried to sell me. I'm sure it crossed their mind at times because I was that pesky baby of the family who demanded to go with everybody and know everything. So, but my parents being godly parents, I grew up in church. But at the age of 18, I went, I know everything. What am I doing here? There's a lot going on out there. You know, you just get stupid. That's all there is to it. Well, I took control of my life. I took it out of God's hands. Went out on my own. And went straight down the path of willful destruction. Mm-hmm. Much like the prodigal son. Mm-hmm. I don't need this. There's got to be better out there. Bad decision after bad decision left me farther and farther away from God and into the world of self-pleasure and self-fulfillment. Pride took over my common sense, and everything that I had been taught for the first 18 years of my life, out the door. What did I need that for? I remained in the world for 25 years. Never going to church, never reading my Bible, never praying. All of my efforts were focused on me. Then in 1986, after my fourth marriage, took a dump, all of which I had masterfully manipulated each one of those marriages because I saw something I wanted, I just wouldn't got it. I never asked if it was okay with the Lord. Who knows better for my life than me? You know, it's that dumb. In the meantime, my precious mother, I'm certain, is just ringing, that is sitting back, wringing her hands, you know. Well, in 1986, after this marriage, worldly marriage, very worldly marriage, died, my mom, praise God, went home to be with the Lord. My children had grown. I was on my own, and I suddenly became very sick. Out of the blue, I became an acute asthmatic, severe asthmatic. Bizarre reactions of foods that I had always eaten. I could no longer go there because I couldn't breathe. I would have a reaction to it. Well, fear became my closest friend. I lived in fear, or I lived to hang on to my breathing machine, or whatever it was. The stress of my life and the way I had been living it, when it was all coming crashing down on me. But you know what, you guys, I knew in my heart that I served a loving God. I knew that. I just didn't take the time to acknowledge him because it didn't fit into my plan. The lifestyle that I had been living had robbed me of my health and had robbed me of my source of peace, my strength, and everything. So I was reminded of Jonah, you know, as God had wanted him to go to Nineveh to teach. And he says, I don't want to go there. So he hops on a cruise ship, goes the opposite direction, and guess what? God says, no, 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 no. So he made this horrific storm, threw him in the ocean, swallowed by a whale or whatever, you know. And sure enough, he was spit out on the shores of Nineveh. Why do we question this awesome God? But I can honestly tell you that during my years of rebellion, God was so good to me. Number one, I didn't die. With unconfessed sin, I did not die. Praise God for that. Amen. Number two, even though I wasn't serving him, I knew from my early days of training, I never denied him. So thank God for that. And number three, my children were kept safe. Nothing happened to them. I had a good job. I was able to buy my own home. But you know what? And there's always that but. Be aware of that. Shaking your head, I see. But there's always that but. There was a price that had to be paid for all of that selfish indulgence. And God had chosen my health to be the payment plan. I was one sick lady, let me tell you. After developing this acute asthma, I was under the care of a doctor who is located in L.A. Now, I live in Whittier, or work in Whittier, live in La Habra. And this doc, she was a very famous doctor for allergies, so I got hooked up with her. She started all of this allergy testing. You know, they shoot you full of all of this stuff you're going to be allergic to, and then they build injections. They make injections of everything you're allergic to so that they can desensitize you. And so you take these shots like once a week. And I thought, well, I don't want to drive into L.A. every day. Again, I didn't pray. I did not ask the Lord. Never even entered my mind there could be a problem with taking these injections. So I said, I work for doctors. Send me my injections through the mail. And I'll just have one of the nurses, you know, give me an injection. No big deal. Well, she consented. And so I started on this course of therapy. it was a Monday, I'll never forget, and as usual, right after lunchtime, Amelia, one of the nurses, was preparing my injection. She took it, and I could tell you within a millisecond, I knew I was in trouble. Our desk butted up to each other, and I literally started doing that because I couldn't speak. I had no air, couldn't breathe. She turned around and she looked at me, praise God again. She reached over, picked up her purse, walked out. I picked up my purse, walked out. She picked me up in front of the medical center because I work for these doctors. She bombed across this busy boulevard out in front of our office because there was a huge hospital that was right across the street from our office. And this woman, God bless her, you know, she drove up the ambulance ramp. Didn't bother about going through the front door. No, she's coming in through the ambulance. She's banging on the doors, and the people come out, and they take one look at me, and they know I'm in trouble. I'm in real severe trouble. So they get me in there, and that people are working on me. I mean, there must have been four or five people. And I knew I was in trouble. I knew that. And I'm sitting there on the edge of this gurney or whatever it was, and I'm seeing they're injecting me with all of this stuff. I'm taking blood, da 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 da. And all of a sudden, all I could hear was my own heartbeat. Mm-hmm. You ever heard your heartbeat inside your ears? Yes. I'm going, and it was so loud. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know it at the time, but when you go into anaphylactic shock, all of your blood vessels close down and your heart starts beating at 50 times faster. And so you usually have a heart attack. And so I'm sitting there and I said, I know I'm in trouble. And you know what? Out of the deep, dark recesses of my mind, I said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me the light. Yea, though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, thy rod and thy staff. I recall it. After 25 years of never even acknowledging. And I knew at the moment I started to recite that scripture that God was in that ER with me. I knew it. Hadn't acknowledged him in 25 years. And yet, I looked up on the wall, and all of this is going on down here, and I just said, you know what, God? If you'll give me my life, I'll give you my life back. And I'm telling you, it's like a scripted movie. It was at that moment I began to breathe. Everything just opened up, and I was saved. And that was 1986, and let me tell you, girl, I have never looked up to And so the scripture of Proverbs 22:6, train up the child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. That is the absolute God's truth.
Amen.
Don't ever doubt it or deny it, because I am walking proof that that happened. I have several things that the Lord gave to me, several points that I wanted to share with you guys, that it is good as seasoned Christians or new Christians for you to know to grow up into. And number one, I have used grow up in the knowledge and grace. To grow up to him in knowledge and grace. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory for now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Colossians 1:9-10. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. And that was my mother. Have not stopped praying for you, really asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will. The knowledge of his will. And how else, as we've learned this weekend, and Pastor Brian spoke last night, how else are you going to know the knowledge of his will but to be in his word, to do his studies? Take part of those women's studies. This Daniel series that we're doing has blown my socks off. I mean, it's just, hasn't it, Esperanza? It's just unbelievable. It's so good. Number two, grow up into patience. I hear some sighs out there. Learn to wait upon the Lord, as it tells us in Isaiah 40:31. For those who wait on the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not get weary. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is? Because we don't walk in our own strength. Mm-hmm. We're in the strength of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Patience is probably one of the requirements of growing up into him that's the hardest for us to achieve. I don't know about you all, but I'm this microwave society, I think, and I want it. I have to really sit down on myself. In fact, I said for most of my life I struggled with impatience far more than any part of this process. I can pray and ask God to give me long suffering and grace, but patience is a daily struggle for me. And if any of you know my story from last year, believe me, God has really raised me up, because you can't deal with a patient, which my husband is, having had a stroke, without gaining patience. So the Lord has worked it out. I must say that growing old has showed me that I've come full circle with my impatience. I have had to swallow many a crow pie, and I don't like crow pie. I don't care if you put ketchup on it. It just does not taste good. So I just have learned that waiting on the Lord, and he could change. You know what? And you know what it is? Is that when the instant that our impatience it flares, a second later it can be totally different. Mm-hmm. Because the person could turn around and say, I'm sorry, that fast, and it changes the whole scenario. Just when you're getting ready to fire with all guns, you know, it's totally changed. So, number three, growing up, learning God's timing. That's another one. Yeah. Time is a gift from God, and he has allowed it to each of us a measure in which to live and accomplish his purpose. We can either waste it on ourselves, which I did, or wisely, which I am, invested in eternally. Growing up unto him is learning to make the most of whatever time the Lord has provided. The key to investing in eternity is to follow God's plan for your life. Jesus lived 33 years on this earth, and people thought, well, that's not very long. But you know, it only took him 3 years to accomplish everything that his Father had sent him to do. So it's not about this. He could pack it in, you know, like this. What do they say? The best gifts come in small packages? You know, I mean, that's the way to think about it. Number four, grow up unto commitment. Have any of you ever really, truly, when you're kind of just sitting around day, if you're running just mind games, think and evaluate your life in Christ? And your commitment. Being completely committed requires that we surrender all of our rights and recognize that he is the one that is plotting the course of our life. Are you one that is guilty of drawing a box around your life and hanging a sign saying, here, Lord, I'm going to serve you with everything I've got, but don't ask me to go anywhere else? You have done that? This is my area of expertise, and I'm just going to stay here and serve the Lord. All that you are and all that you have belongs to God. And yet, in our pride and selfishness, we lay claim to everything, saying, shh, I'm not going to go over there. forgive her? No way. It, you know what? It'll snow and you know where before that happens. Do we not have these scenarios going through our mind? Sure we do. Ladies, when the Lord challenges you to do anything, take you out of your comfort zone, he's calling you to a higher commitment. Isn't he? Yeah. Say, well, I don't know how to do that. I mean, there's a little one sitting here in this room right now that I can tell you jumped last night because something happened that was not scheduled to happen, and there was a panic, but you know what? She trusted in her God, and immediately just went over, and that fast he's there for us, and he knows what we need, so she saved the day. If you are one that has posted, you know, yes, Lord, I gave you my life, but there's really no trespassing on my life. I mean, I got a lot to do, and I got a lot going on. I got a lot of people wanting stuff for me, you know. Let's remember that we were purchased by the blood of the Lamb. There is nothing more precious than Jesus' blood. Let me tell you, because there isn't any one of us that would do what he did for someone else. Especially somebody we didn't know. And especially if somebody we didn't care for. You know, we're just not made up of that. So, number four. Grow up into obedience.
That's number five.
That's number five. Without a show of hands, I ask you, are you one who offers themselves to Jesus without reservation? Obedience to follow God is a choice that requires consequence. This means that we choose to obey and may have suffering, and we must endure to stay on the course. I mean, look at the lady that just spoke. My goodness sakes. Seeing God's will done should be our number one goal. Holding tight to every promise and remembering Romans 8:28. That all things work to the good for those that are called of God. The kind of commitment that I'm speaking of here, it's not the obedience that is born of the instant moment. You know, like, okay, I'll do it this time, Lord. You know, it's a lifetime of commitment. It's a lifetime of giving over everything. Putting sub-agreements to our godly compliance is very tempting. In other words, we want to be able to change our minds if we see the little road gets a little bit tough. Say, oh, I'm out of here. No, it's not. You've got to, when you give the Lord your word, that's your word. You got to see it through, because you just don't know what he's got for you at the end of the event or the event of the whatever it is. But because we know everything we get from him is the best that there is. Is Jesus the Lord of your life? What right do you have to limit how he's going to use you? That's right. Number six, grow up unto compromise. One of the greatest dangers of a Christian walk is the war zone of landmines. You can be walking gingerly on your way and without seeing it, step on a landmine that's going to change your life forever. Deadly spiritual landmines are scattered in the path of every Christian woman. They will cause major damage to an unsuspecting believer who treads on them. The landmine I am speaking of here is the landmine of compromise. King Solomon is a tragic example of a man who was once so committed to his God, and through his disobedience and compromise was tragically hurt by his spiritual landmine. God had equipped Solomon with great wisdom, and he was to rule over Israel and even build his temple. And yet, despite these awesome gifts and the calling on his life, Solomon's heart began to drift from the Lord. He followed his own desires and even married foreign women who led him into idolatry. His heart did not suddenly become divided, ladies. This is something that is evil and destructive. I kind of like a termite. You know what? They're there, and you don't really realize it, but they're eroding the foundation. And before you know it, there's a collapse. Bad choices, failure to give over to God his fleshly desires, thinking too highly of himself, failing to acknowledge God in his life. All those things violated God's command. And don't fool yourself, sweet ladies, my sisters in Christ, that one small step away from the Lord, and you think, oh, I can always turn back. It's just this time I won't do anything. I won't say what I know I need to say. Well, you know what? Satan and his armies are just waiting. Waiting. She's over the step, one toe. We got her. Mm-hmm. You know, over that path that was drawn for you. So we just want to know that that don't ever go into the mindset, oh, this little white lie is not going to hurt anybody. It's no big deal. Well, let me tell you, compromise endangers you in ways that you don't even realize. It breaks our fellowship with God. And because you have turned away from the Holy Spirit, your strength to resist temptation is weakened. And the biggest downfall to compromise is it ruins your witness. Shoots it all the heck. Okay, number 7. Grow up into forgiveness. Now, this is a pit of you-know-what for me. I don't have any problem forgiving anybody when they come to me and say they're sorry. It's myself that I have a problem forgiving. I struggle every day with my self-image because of the things that I've done in my past and who I was. I know I present myself as a self-confidence, able to handle whatever you throw at me, always ready with an answer kind of woman. I am the ultimate encourager. Come to me with your problems in a matter of minutes. I can rattle off a list of your godly qualities and never break a sweat. But for me, it's a different story. I am plagued with unforgiveness for myself, and I don't do it in pride. I just am sick to death at the years that I wasted. Can't go there, you know, but it's there. When Jesus went to the cross for our sins, he lifted the blame from our shoulders and made us righteous before God. Those feelings of condemnation do not belong to us. They are from Satan. He amplifies our guilt and shame and inadequacies, and then tries to convince us that's exactly how our Lord feels about us. Not true. Psalms 138, 7 and 8. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, let me stop. This is the scripture that I used the Old English, because I have this Bible that has, on one page, it has three different translations, and I saw this, and I read all three of them, and I went, whoa, that reads so much more beautiful in the old, King James? Yeah. It says, 138, 7 and 8, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou wilt stretch forth thy hand against the wrath of my enemies, and thy right hand will save me. The Lord will accomplish what concerns me. Thy loving kindness, O Lord, is everlasting. Do not forsake the works of thy hands. Now, King David was a man who walked in a lot of trouble. You can read the Psalms and tell the problems he's had. The Psalms express his woes and disappointments. Yet in the end, he always turned his focus back to God. David was confident in God's purpose. This is why he says in confidence in verse 8 of Psalms 138, the Lord will accomplish what concerns me. Repeat that with me. The Lord will accomplish what concerns me. So all those little secret recesses you've got hidden back there or down here in the park, he knows all of that. And he is going to accomplish it. Whatever it is, if it concerns you, my loves, he's on it. Okay? Don't ever think anything other than that. The only way that you and I can walk through trouble and not be defeated is by keeping our focus on the Lord and his purpose. We know his promise is to do good work in our life, but sometimes the only way he can complete it is in the valley of hardship. We can trust in God to deliver us, but it may not be by escape. So when you're having these troubles and you're wondering, okay, Lord, what you doing here? It's time for this to go away. Well, he's trying to accomplish something through those problems. Duh. Sometimes we don't think about that. We just think, well, why are you doing this to me? Right? Yeah. Instead of thinking, oh, okay, God, I wonder what you're trying to work out of me now. See how he thinks? So be assured that he's right in the midst of whatever's going on in your life. He's right in the middle of it. And that when you have come out on the other side, he'll release you. And it's done. Okay? One of the greatest things that I had a woman teacher in my other church teach me was to memorize scripture. Because on those trials or in those trials, when you're out there on your own and Satan has kind of corralled you out from your friends or your girlfriends or whatever, and he's kind of got you along, pouring in all of that filth and whatever he puts in our heads, you know, the best way to send you is start repeating scriptures. And mine is Philippians 4:13. Girl, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I have had to stand up and say that probably 50, 60 times a day until I just, you know, finally it calms down and you can get through it. So start learning some scriptures. You newbies, if there are any in here. God's word is one of our most valuable possessions. And it will see us through all the storms of life that try to beat us up. I'd like to close with growing into our eternal rewards. Yay. Throughout scripture, we have read crowns, about crowns. So let me go over just a few of the eternal rewards that you and I can look forward to going through, victoriously coming through this Christian walk. The crown of victory. Our goal should be to finish this life well. And if we lived back in the times of Jesus, their Olympians got a little tiny floral wreath, you know, leaves. That's all it was leaves. And we know what the word tells us about leaves. They wither and die. But our crown is going to be beautiful and will last forever. 1 Corinthians 9:25-27. The crown of exaltation. Ladies, those friends, oh, I love this. I can't wait to see this. Those friends and family and neighbors, anyone that you have had or been involved in their salvation, in the transforming of their lives, they're going to greet you when you get to heaven. Oh, wow. Going, yeah, you made it, you know? And as I'm old, so I can look back on my life and think, oh, yeah, I remember her. I hope I see her there, you know? And so this is the thing that we have to look forward to. And that crown you'll find in 1 Thessalonians 2:18-20. The next one is the crown of righteousness. The Christian life is not easy. And especially when it comes to the day-to-day dying to self. But there is a great reward that we are going to get for facing these temptations. Believers who pursue godliness are always thinking about the life to come, striving to meet God with a pure conscience, looking forward to that day we stand before Him and we get to see everything that we've only just been able to imagine through the Word. The crown of life. Let's face it, heartache and pain is never fun, but they are unavoidable in the Christian life. We can take heartache because there is much spiritual growth. When you're going through the throes of whatever it is, when you come out on that other end, you're going to have a new appreciation for what it is you've gone through. You know, I never knew what it was to have an invalid husband. I didn't know my husband was acting and what happened. Well, let me tell you, I know now. And I can appreciate when a woman tells me, oh, my husband had a stroke. Oh, I know the whole story. So see, it gives you that new, any woman who's been through an abortion, I have no idea what you feel because I've never done that. You have a greater insight. And God gives us those histories. As painful as it is to go through, guess what? He's going to use that down the road to glorify Him. Mm-hmm. So whatever you're going through, don't say, I can't do this, God. Because He's working it out that you can take it somewhere down the road and turn around and say, here, God, I'm going to give you back. I'm going to give it to this person and let them know what's going on. Hopefully today I've shared something that has encouraged you, kind of spurred you on. Hopefully got a little bit of laugh out of it. But I just want to encourage you, my sisters, to don't run through this life thinking it's nothing. It's everything. It's everything, unlike you have ever lived before. Don't run through it. You know how I look back on my kids and I meant, how did they get to be 50 years old? What happened? I wish I could go back and do it over again. And let me tell you, it'd be a much slower process. It really would. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you, Lord Jesus, for each one of these precious daughters that sit with you today, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are alive and well in every one of them. Thank you, God, that their desire is to grow in you, to know you more, to be that strong tower for you, God, in times of trouble, and to call out your name, God, when we're in trouble. Lord, I thank you, Father, for all that you've done in each one of their lives to make them who they are today, God. Continue to grow them, continue to stretch them. And Father, most of all, with each and every trial that they have to go through, God, remind them that in the deepest, darkest recesses, you're right there with them, Lord. There is not a thing that happens to us, Father God, that you're not aware of. So Lord, as we close this session, I pray, God, that those that need prayer, Lord, would be willing to come forth or turn to a sister in their chair and just say, you know what, pray for me. And that, God, that we would be set free of many of the things that that Satan binds us up in, God, and our flesh and weakness binds us up. So, Lord, we love you, God, with all our hearts. Be glorified in each of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.